Hello and welcome to the LCU Coaches Show, brought to you by the Shap Radio Sports Network and the LCU Podcast. I'm Nathan Carcino, and on today's episode, we'll get you caught up on everything you need to know around LCU softball and baseball. Starting with the Lady Shaps, LCU sits 25-18 overall and a 24-15 Lone Star Conference record. Here's what head coach Darren Hayes had to say about his team's recent outings, their place in the regional standings, and what's ahead to close out the regular season.
We're with head coach of LCU softball, Darren Hayes. Coach, you took care of business last week against UT Permian Basin. A lot of good things we saw. What were some of the things you stood out from the series?
Well, you know, we hadn't had a lot of conference series like that where we just kind of glided and they're down a little bit and bottom of the league. And, you know, so what you hate is when the wind blows in, because that's a great leveler for the weaker team. And it was kind of strange. The last couple of weeks we play Angelo and WT, who can really hit, and the wind's howling out. So we play them and, should have a big plus if the wind's blowing out. Well, the wind blows in all three games and hard. So we hit a couple of home runs, which were unexpected with that wind. But so I was happy we took care of business, and we pitched well and played good defense. And it was a good weekend all the way around.
Looking at some of the offense in the game one, Bailey Myers went 3-for-3 at the plate, and she continued her hot streak from the series before. What were some of your favorite things to see offensively despite some of this wind?
Well, you know, early in the year, Bailey really struggled driving in runs and wasn't very hot. And here lately, she's been really good. And, University of Houston transfer, really a talented kid. And, you know, it's kind of coincided with her offensive uptick as she's played way better defensively. And she's become a really good player for us and, much needed, because that's what we expected from her coming in.
Now, Saturday was the regular season home finale. You celebrated six seniors as well and got the 8-1 win. What do those seniors mean to your program as you see them leave?
Well, you think about some of the contributions they've made. You know, Skylar Herrera has been an all-region player every year, you know, one of the best players in the country. Tiara, you know, is flirting with 400 for the second year in a row. And, so great players, and not only that, they're great people. They've been solid citizens, and then, you know, their academics are really, really good. Hope and Alice has been a great player for us, starting a new grad program next year at University of Arizona. And so, you know, they're all accomplished athletes, all accomplished students, so really a strong senior class on both those fronts.
Now, we started Saturday needing three strikeouts from Maxine Valdez, and so she got the start again in the game three, ended up going 5 2/3 innings, had 8 total strikeouts. What were the decision-making on her program as she continued to go on after getting the record?
Well, you know, we're getting here to the end of the year, and I've guarded her a little bit because I know we're going to need her to be fresh, and she's in great shape. She works too hard, actually, in the weight room. We've had to back her off a little bit, but we've guarded her a little bit, but here in the last few weeks we've had to use her more, and that's going to continue throughout the deal. But I really wanted her to get her 500th here at home in front of her home crowd, home fans, and all that.
So now, as we finish off this UTPB series, a big morale boost to the team, 3 straight victories. Now heading over to Tyler to play the Patriots of UT. Tyler, what are some of the things you're expecting in the final series, the regular season?
Well, we haven't won there in the last 2 years, so we split the year before that there. And, that ballpark hadn't fit our teams very well. It's a tough place to hit. The ball doesn't carry. And then the dirt infield has been an issue some in the past. Now, we've been playing well defensively on dirt here in the last month of the season, so hopefully that continues. And they're strong as always, and they're going to give no matter what happens, our RPI will get a bump just by playing there.
Now, as we finish things off, we're here at practice looking over a little bit of live action. What are some things you're paying attention to here, and then what is the agenda for the rest of the week?
Well, we had Reese Farrar's grandmother died last week, and so she didn't get any work. So, you know, she got to see a bunch of hitters today. Ashlyn Hamilton didn't get in a game last weekend, and we need to get both those guys work because they're key for us. You know, for us to get deep into a tournament situation, we've got to have all hands on deck pitching-wise.
Now, looking at some of those tournament considerations, a Lone Star Conference berth is the first thing up for the Lady Shaps. What are some things you're noticing around the league as you start getting ready for the seeding to play out as we go on?
Well, it's been a crazy year, and, you know, the RPI projections have WT behind a slot behind Tyler, even though they swept Tyler first conference weekend. So, and that's based all of they played a little bit higher RPI non-conference, and us getting that second week of non-conference weathered out has just killed us as far as our RPI and all that stuff. But as of last week, we were still in, but this week we sweep, and the projections would have us being one of the first teams out. So, you know, we really need to play Tyler and get that strength of schedule back up, and that'll happen no matter what happens. And if you win a couple of games there, then, you know, you're pretty much in a regional.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Best of luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate it.
LCU defeated the Falcons 8-0, 8-0, and 8-1 last week. Some highlights from the series include a complete game shutout from pitcher Maxine Valdez for her 10th win of the season. Bailey Myers was also a double away from the cycle in Game 1 with three runs batted in. In Game 2, we saw a two-hit shutout from Tioni Lamb in the circle, striking out 10 batters. And in this one, Skylar Herrera also hit her 11th home run of the season for her 44th of her LCU career, which puts her sole possession for third place in program history in home runs. In Game 3, Valdez was back in the circle for the Lady Shaps and struck out the side in the first inning to reach 500 career strikeouts, only the third Lady Shap to ever reach that milestone. Now LCU will travel east for the final series of the regular season against the UT Tyler Patriots on April 26th and 27th, with the Lone Star Conference Tournament the following week, May 2nd through 4th. Now coming up next, we'll get to hear from LCU Baseball right here on the LCU Coaches Show.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the LCU Coaches Show. I'm Brendan Riker, and joining us to wrap up today's edition of the Coaches Show is LCU head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Coach, how are you today?
Doing good. Ready to roll. Got some good weather, so it's a fun time of year.
So I will not expect that we'll have any of the games moved around this weekend. Wouldn't imagine.
No, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be some wind involved, but we're not going to change game times, so 6-2-1 this weekend.
It's always good when everything rolls on schedule, but again, knock on wood, because this is West Texas. But before we get into what's going on this week, last weekend it was a back-and-forth series between Lubbock Christian as they took on West Texas A&M in the rivalry on the range that was played in Canyon. Because of inclement weather, this series was moved around with a doubleheader on Friday and then single games on Saturday and Sunday. Looking at the Friday doubleheader, WT took game one 5-1 after their ace Reese Miller only allowed three hits. And then LCU took the second game 8-2. What changed in your batter's approach from game one to game two?
I wouldn't say anything really changed on their approach. It was just the difference in, you know, Miller versus, you know, Hayes in that second game. The guy they started on the mound, he was a different type of pitcher, and our guys really were successful against him. He didn't last very long, and had a good approach both games, I thought. But Reese was just really good in game one, and we just didn't have much of a chance against him. To tell you the truth, that's his best. That's as good as we've seen him all year, and it was a good time for that for him. But then game two, our guys bounced back and were able to get to the bullpen pretty quick.
LCU dropped game three, which was played on Saturday, and was of course a 9-inning affair. The final score was 7-5. Coach, this was a game that LCU had chances, and could not capitalize, stranded 11 batters in this one. What did you see in this loss?
Yeah, that was the key there. We stranded way too many guys. Again, we had opportunities, and I was glad we put ourselves in positions, but we've just got to execute at that point and get those runners home. You know, a couple things that stood out in that game. You know, Abel comes out of the bullpen and keeps it close, you know, the whole time, and really, I think he put up three or four zeros, which was, again, that kept us in the game and gave us a shot even going into the ninth inning, where we had a couple runners on maybe and just couldn't capitalize. So proud of Alger, or not Alger, I said Abel is who I'm talking about, Colson Abel, and he pitched really well, and it was good to see that because he had been up and down the last few weeks, and really good to see him kind of settle in and do what we expect out of him.
Yeah, the final relievers that closed out that game for both LSU and West Texas A&M did a really good job because a lot of the scoring happened early in the game. And then when you talk about Abel, he came into the game and inherited a 1-0 count and the bases loaded. And he walked the first batter he saw, but then shut down the next three guys, struck out back-to-back batters, and then after that, six innings of total work and allowed only that one run in three hits and struck out AWT batters. How much trust do you put into a guy whenever you put a reliever in a situation like that?
Yeah, it's a big trust thing, you know. 1-0 count, bases loaded, is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
You know, that's not your ideal situation to come into. But it seems like we've been putting several of our bullpen guys in that situation quite a bit, and they've come through. And you know, you can't expect them to completely do, you know, perfect in that situation. But you know, we talk about minimizing things, and you know, I think we put Ellis in that situation several times this year, and he's been able to minimize, maybe get a fly ball and then a ground ball double play, or a strikeout. You know, it's just really tough to come in that situation. And in Abel's case, you know, a 1-0 count intensifies things. So it's hard to blame him for that one walk, but then he settled in and just dominated the rest of the game.
So then you go to Sunday, and you're down 2-1 in the series with it on the line, and your team gutted out a gritty 5-4 victory to split the series. Franer Chavez hit the go-ahead RBI sac fly in the top of the ninth, and Chris Scholl pitched 6 1/3 innings of relief, allowing no runs and only three hits. Coach, how was your team able to put together a performance like that on Sunday?
Yeah, that was big. You know, it's kind of one of those deals where we're in that position to be able to win a game on Sunday because of some of the things that happened earlier in the weekend. You know, one of the things we pointed out was Alger in game one, even though we lost that game, he was able to pitch 8 innings for us and keep it close enough for us to not have to, you know, if we have the lead there, it's a different deal. We probably go to Scholl, but with us trailing and not having much success against their number one arm, we were able to keep Alger in there and still have a chance of, you know, coming back and tying it up and possibly winning that game. So he saved our bullpen, you know, in that situation. And then kind of the same thing on another game that we lost, where Abel pitches and puts up all those zeros and just, again, able to save Scholl and some other guys where we know that we can go to our bullpen early on Sunday, and that's exactly what we ended up doing. Andrew pitched well, but got squeezed a couple times and gave up 3 runs, I think, in the third inning, and that's when we went to Scholl, and he shut him down the rest of the game. We were able to retake the lead, so that was a big part of a series split. You know, it wasn't just that day. It was some things that happened earlier in the day, but credit Chris coming in a really tough situation and just putting up zeros the rest of the game. That was big.
One of the things that we talked about last week is how that ballpark plays, and it was a cold, kind of a cold weekend, and you know, thankfully it didn't rain on Saturday, but definitely that wind coming in from the East was apparent and blowing in. And a lot of the approach that you talked about was small ball. And that was kind of showcased in Sunday's game. You see a lot of, including in addition to Frayner, see a lot of smaller ways to bring in runs across the board. Overall, how pleased were you with the small ball approach in the series?
Yeah, you know, we talked about that last week for two reasons: the wind blowing in there, and then the level of pitching that we knew we were going to see there. You know, it's just not a situation where you just go mash and outscore someone. We knew we were going to have to fight to get guys on base and then try to move them over and get them in, and that's what happened. I think in the eighth inning when we took the lead, maybe in the ninth, that where we got a leadoff double, then a walk, and then bunted them over with Blair, and then Chavi got the sac fly to get the runner in from third, which we were able to take the lead at that point. So, you know, that's part of the game, and we've certainly got to be able to do that to win in postseason for sure.
And Chavez had a very productive weekend, you know, batting at the bottom of the order. He had four hits in the series and four runs batted in during this series, and also made some really good plays at second base for LCU. What can you say about his weekend?
Yeah, he's just a competitor. You know, he's not, you know, we put him usually in eight or nine hole in the lineup, and he's a guy that can get on base, but you know, in that situation, runner at third, the go-ahead run at third with him up with less than two outs, he's kind of, you know, there's a few guys that I would want in that situation, and he's one of them. And just because we trust him, we know that he knows what he's got to do, and he's going to do his best to get it done. And so yeah, he's been great for us. He's, you know, he suffered injuries all year, and just hard to keep him on the field with mainly a hamstring injury. And we miss him when he's not out there, for sure.
Talking about some of those injuries, your team is still battling through some health at the moment, but you know, you've seen a lot of different guys have to step up in the lineup and take care of business in the absence of some other players. So what have you seen out of some of those guys these past couple weeks?
Yeah, you know, Jackson Edwards has caught, I think, the last eight games that we've played, because Gibson's just still not ready to catch. And so proud of Jackson for just coming in and doing what he can. And that's not easy to catch four games on a weekend, and he's done it 2 weeks in a row and really – done a great job for us defensively. You know, our lineup's maybe not as strong when Gibson's not catching, but again, guys have stepped up, and Jackson's been a big part of that, and he's got some big hits for us and done some things at the plate as well. So that's been huge. You know, Shoal didn't hit it all this weekend, but because of the situation where we were waiting to use him out of the bullpen, didn't know kind of when that was going to happen. He didn't get an at bat all weekend, and that's for us to split or win a series, you know, without him in the lineup is big. But it just shows that other guys are getting it done. And you know, Ball had a good weekend, played third all weekend, where McCool had to go out to right. Brevin's been very versatile in that for us and done a good job of handling those situations and kind of being a utility guy for us, so we can keep him in the lineup. And all that's been big as guys get hurt and we're moving guys around. It's been fun to watch them step up.
Talking with LCU head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. So after the weekend, four games left in the regular season, and things get a little hairy right now. There's a three-team race for the Lone Star Conference regular season championship between Lubbock Christian, who's a game behind WT, LCU with a conference record of 31-13, and then West Texas A&M 31-12. But then right behind both LCU and WT, it's Angelo State, who again game behind LCU, they're 30-14 in conference play. And then on top of that, WT and Angelo State play each other to end the regular season. Coach, just right now, what's the gut feeling headed into this weekend?
Yeah, I wish I knew, but it's wide open. You know, we know those are the top three teams. No matter what happens, they're going to be 1 through 3. We really don't know the order. You know, and that's I guess that's where you want to be having a shot at this point. But you know, the downside of that is we don't have a tiebreaker with WT, and we probably won't if we're tied with Angelo. We wouldn't have that tiebreaker either, because the reason we'd be tied is because they'd probably win 3 out of 4 against WT, and we split this weekend. So they would have the tiebreaker in that situation because of their record against WT. If it's a 3-way tie, I think Angelo actually would have the tiebreaker, and we'd go all the way down to third. So it's you know, if we sweep this weekend, which will be really tough to do against a good Eastern New Mexico team, if we sweep and they split, then we're outright champs. If we match what Angelo does and they win their series, then we're outright champs as well. So there's scenarios, but it's hard to even calculate it all at this point.
Yeah, talking about the one thing that you can control, it's the series against Eastern New Mexico. That'll be the regular season finale series. It will be at home here in Lubbock at Hayes Field. You know, this is a ball club that we've kind of alluded to them in the past couple shows just a few times, but they've found ways to pick up notable wins. They're below 500, but they're still a ball club that you hold great respect for. What do you know about this Eastern New Mexico team?
Yeah, they're, you know, way better than last year. They've had a couple of bad weekends that really kind of put them in a bad situation, that they've got to come in here and this weekend and win the series or sweep us to get in the conference tournament. And, you know, to me, that's a good thing for us, because that means they're probably going to match up head to head with us in pitching, you know, which we need to win the series too, to be in. So it's going to be a battle there. But they, you know, they started off the season split with Angelo State, when Angelo was healthy. You know, they were 100% healthy at that time. Then they kind of went on a bad streak there, where they, you know, had some injuries. But Eastern split with them. They split with WT. I don't think they've been swept all year, maybe once, but they're always winning at least a game or two in every series, and have won some big series as well.
Yeah, I think the only sweep against them so far this season is UT Tyler, and of course UT Tyler is a really good team. And again, in addition to WT and Angelo State, they have 2 wins against St. Edwards, 2 wins against St. Mary's, really good teams right now at the top, near the top of the Lone Star. Mm-hmm. And what the kind of how Eastern does it is they start series off really well. How do you keep these guys from getting off to the start that they want?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, they've got two for sure really good arms. Numbers wise, they're better than anybody we've got that we throw out there, as far as just what they've done and their strikeout numbers, their batting average against, all those things. You know, part of that has possibly to do with their park. It's a really tough place to hit at their place. But either way, they're getting it done, and you know, probably going to see Luger, I think is his name, game one, and he's really, really good. A lot of strikeouts and doesn't give up many hits.
Of course, game one will be on Friday at 6 p.m. and the doubleheader Saturday at 2 p.m., but Sunday, if I'm correct, will be senior day.
Yep.
And that will be Sunday at 1 p.m. for the Chaparrals. Here are the seniors that will be honored on Sunday: Carson Ogilvy, Hayden Blair, Chris Scholl, Colton Brown, Jackson Edwards, Josh Akers, Jesse Benavidez, Ryan Ball, Bo Hogaboom, Nate Van Monen, Logan Ellis, Jared Gibson, Aiden Auger, and Tyler Hardwick. Coach, a lot of names. That's a lot of guys that'll be honored on Sunday. But what has it been like to watch this group of seniors grow and to be able to mentor them during their time at LCU?
Yeah, that's been a really big part of this class. You know, most of these guys are, you know, fifth year guys or even more than that. So they've been around a while. You know, still these guys are kind of the last group that's going through that COVID extensions that they got. And so, yeah, it's been really fun watching them work with the younger guys and kind of show them what LCU baseball is and just kind of how we do things. And, you know, I can think of Carson for sure, you know, really working with our young middle infielders all the time. They're always talking and you know, we got several red shirts that are just kind of just mirroring him on a daily basis. And that's going to be so valuable for us going down the road. But you know, just thinking about those 14 seniors, just, you know, replacing those guys is going to be really tough. You know, this is a big recruiting year for us, and seems like we talk about that every year, but man, this year especially, those guys are, you know, we can't replace them for sure, but we're going to try to get it, you know, as good as we can to get some guys in here that are similar to them, because we're going to miss them for sure.
And it just goes to show you how vital these players have been to this program the past couple years. And you talk about, you know, getting back to the NCAA tournament last season and starting to set the standard for this program. And a lot of that could not be done without these seniors leading this team.
Yeah, no doubt. They've led us, you know, really for the last 2 years for sure. And, you know, we had a smaller senior class last year and some guys that were valuable for sure when we lost them, but they weren't necessarily the vocal type leaders that this group is. And so these guys have been doing it for a while and it's been fun to watch, but you know, they get it done. You know, they've helped us get it done on the field, but they're good students. They're good in the classroom. They're good citizens. They're the kids that are in the elementary schools reading to the kids. They're constantly doing things. And you know, I see a bunch of kids in the stands just watching them and idolizing them. And we got a picture that, you know, these kids praying while at the same time our guys are praying. And it's just really cool to see what these seniors have done, as an influence to people way bigger than just our program.
And usually sometimes, you know, when talking to coaches, the questions like, you know, what's your favorite memory? There's still a lot of memories to be made with this group, so we'll hold off on that question until the time comes. Now, of course, we've talked about the series. We've talked about what's on the line this weekend. What's the conversation right now in the locker room headed into this weekend?
It's the same as it's been, which is let's go win game one and then see what can happen in game two. You know, it's just these guys are mature enough to know what's on the line, and you know, and it's regular season champs would be nice, but obviously our goals are bigger than this conference, you know. So we're doing everything we can to stay high in the regional rankings, which is, again, we talked about last week. That's the thing that really matters, and if a regular season championship comes along with that, that'd be great, but. Again, we're trying to get into a regional.
Coach, before we go, do you have anything else you would like to share with Chapa Nation?
No, again, you mentioned senior weekend, so we'll start that at, I think, 12:45 on Sunday. So love for as many people as possible to come out there and honor these seniors that have led us the last few years.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck this weekend.
You bet. Thank you.
That was head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the LCU Coaches Show. Again, come out to Hayesfield all weekend long to support the Chaparrals, and especially these seniors on Sunday. As always, you can hear the show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Chap Radio and on demand on the LCU podcast. We'll see y'all next week. Take care, everyone.